This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, May 22nd, 2009, as Gillette Stadium prepares for the NCAA Lacrosse Championships, PFW is here to talk about some roster moves, or lack thereof, this week. Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino joining me, Andy Hart. And since there's no moves, that leaves us with rumor. And the best rumors involve pass rushers. Jason Taylor is now a Dolphin, so we've moved on to the next apparently available pass rusher, and his name is Derek Burgess. He is a defensive end that's played for the Oakland Raiders the last few years, started his career in Philadelphia. Fans may remember him from the 2004 postseason, where he kind of made a name for himself and then made some good money heading to Oakland as a free agent. A couple Pro Bowlers, 47 career sacks. He's in his ninth season, 6'2", 260, so the height not ideal according to Bill Belichick's standards for an outside linebacker pass rusher in this system. Battled injuries last year a little bit, only played in 10 games and 14 games the year before that, but led the NFL with 16 sacks in 2005. Various published reports have indicated the Patriots have had trade discussions with the Raiders, revolving around second or third round compensation going to Oakland for Burgess. Most recently, though, Tom Cable, who, if you don't know who that is the Oakland Raiders head coach. He likes to wear a leather jacket and wander around aimlessly at the scouting combine in Indianapolis in the lobby.
Thought that was Al Davis.
He doesn't wander around. He doesn't move so well anymore. But he looks, you know, wanders in a similar fashion, a similar clueless slash whatever fashion. Enough shots at Tom Cable. He said that's old news. Those discussions took place back around the draft. Doesn't know why it's come up again. So he paints it as it is not an ongoing discussion. It's something that was in the past about a month ago and has come back. Paul Perillo, Derek Burgess. Like him, love him, want him. What?
Like him. I think it'd be a nice move. I think it would add to the depth on the outside. I think he's a guy who has proven he can get after the passer, as you mentioned. And the question that I would have would be, he's done that basically as a 4-3 end, and I'm not sure how much responsibilities he's had as a linebacker, pass rush, pass coverage, as well as setting the edge and stuff like that. I'm not saying he can't do that. I'm not really up to speed in terms of his ability to do that. Much like we talked about with Julius Peppers, you know, it's one thing to say that a guy is going to do this and another thing to make sure that he can. Peppers obviously starting with a much larger skill set than Derek Burgess in also size. So I think you were a little bit more ready to overlook some of those questions than you would be with Burgess. But I think it would be a solid move. Definitely would add to the depth. And I think you mentioned on PFW in Progress, Andy, not maybe an every down solution, right, but a guy who could really give you a boost in the specifically with the pass rush.
Probably Sean Crable insurance. If Sean Crable is not as good as maybe Belichick thinks he is, or not quite as ready.
Or me.
Or who you think he is. Why are you stretching your shirt out? Your gut does that for you. Sorry, we're on the radio. No one needed to know that.
Yeah, I'm called for.
Would you feel more comfortable with Derek Burgess as your pass rushing insurance?
I don't love it, but I'll take it.
No, because you're still on that Peppers train.
But I'll take it.
The compensation is far less.
It sure is.
Second or third round pick and $2 million, in the, I believe, the last year of his contract.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
you're not mortgaging anything to get him.
It's affordable, and if he stays healthy, he's proven that he can do more than an acceptable job. He's proven he can do a Pro Bowl job.
Right.
So if they get that for that price and he can stay healthy, if he can play even, I'll say, 12 games, I think I'd be happy with that. Because I think that would give you enough productivity that you're looking for, either as insurance or as, you know, a first or second down guy or however they want to use him. I'd rather have that as just more depth and more competition at that position as a fallback.
Right.
So,
and we should
mention that
a number of local outlets have contacted various coaches and guys that have worked with Burgess, and a lot of those guys back up the idea that he would be a nice fit, at least as a situational player in the Patriots system. Played a little bit of outside linebacker 3-4 at times in Oakland. Obviously, they have Rob Ryan out there, and there's been some 3-4 packages that have been put in place by the Raiders. So I think at this point, when you're moving into late May and June and the dead time before training camp,
he's probably one of the best available options, certainly one of the best cost-effective options if you're not willing to mortgage your future for somebody like a Peppers or a Terrell Suggs, one of the franchise guys. Moving on, we had OTAs this week, which is where we can talk about your binky, Paul.
Yeah.
Sean Crabill took a lot of reps at outside linebacker. Obviously, this is a passing camp in shorts, non-contact, so he did a lot of dropping into coverage. He wasn't really rushing Kevin O'Connell looking to knock his head off in
with no lineman in his way.
With these practices, those Dan Klecko sacks that he made a name for himself and moved on to Philadelphia with. Crabill, I thought, looked good in his pass coverage. And most importantly, Paul said he worked on what this offseason?
Developing the lower body, the legs. Wanted to get the legs
about
bigger
time.
And
Much.
Stronger.
To the requests of Fred Parrish, Andy Hart, and PFW.
Started off the interview just asking him the generic, you know, what the offseason's been like, and he got right into it. I spent a lot of time with Harold Nash and Mike Wojcik and working on developing my legs, getting them bigger and stronger. So clearly those skinny legs were not just noticed by PFW. The Patriots training staff and coaching staff were on board as well, and they're working to strengthen that area of his body.
Eric, one of the faces that drew the most attention out there,
mm-hmm.
running back Fred Taylor.
Sure.
He of 11 NFL seasons, 11,000 yards, kind of hitting the ground running, and as he said, not necessarily wanting to get ahead, but making sure he's not behind in his acclimation
sure.
to the system. Good first step for a veteran to come in and show that type of attitude.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's showing that just because he's a veteran, he's not taking anything for granted. He's coming in here. He has a whole new system to learn. You know, he said, yeah, I've been around the block a little, so it's probably not as difficult for him to pick up something like this. But still,
lives on a different block now.
Right. He's in a new neighborhood. He's got new teammates he wants to get used to working with. And I like the fact that he was here. It shows me that he's committed to the team. He's not like some of these veterans that we've heard of this offseason who refuse to take part in OTAs, want to work out on their own. And, you know, he's going to have competition at his position. There's no guarantee that he's going to be starting or how many reps he's going to get per game. We
right.
think that he's going to contribute significantly. But still, in order to do that, as he said, and I quote, I got to learn some daggone plays first.
Right.
So, yeah, I like the fact that he's here and, you know, getting a head start. And he, like you said, he put it in perspective. He's not trying to come in here and overwhelm anyone. He's just trying to get up to speed.
Right. Guy he'll be competing with, as you said, in this committee backfield, obviously Sammy Morris is the leading rusher returning. I think he started 7 games, so I guess he's your returning starter. But Lawrence Maroney, who started the first 2 games last year before going on injured reserve with a broken shoulder, he revealed last week at Kevin Fox's charity softball game, said the shoulder at this point is great, not good, but great. And he seems like he's approaching it as he seems to every year, that this is the year. This is the breakout year. It all comes together. Flashes of brilliance turn into consistent brilliance. And I'm just going to ask you real quick, guys. I don't need a long Lawrence Maroney discussion here, but Lawrence Maroney, does he get it this year, and does it include a significant contribution in terms of rushing yards?
That's a tough one.
It is tough.
Because I think there's a lot of gray area there. But
a lot of variables.
I think he is part of the rotation. I think he is one of a stable of backs. I do not think he gets it to the point where he's the one guy, though.
I don't think he's the one guy either, but I think he does contribute and makes himself worthy of having this final chance in New England.
I'm all in.
So there's Eric and Paul, wishy and washy.
I'm all in. There will be a comma in his rushing total this year.
Oof.
He will have over 1,000 yards rushing for his first time in the league. You know, people forget he hasn't been terrible. He's got an 800 and a 700-yard season in his history, just not last year. I say he does it. I think he's the leader of the ground game. He starts. It's still a committee approach.
Yep.
But he'll be the guy that starts, gets 10 to 12 carries a game, makes the best of those. You mix in Morris. You mix in Taylor. And maybe you mix in the last guy we're going to talk about, Michael Vick. Left prison this week, is serving on his in-home
confinement
or whatever you would have it, which is a very nice home based on the video footage I saw in the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
Or Virginia area, I guess.
Virginia, yeah.
Eric Scalavino, mm-hmm. you and I are going head-to-head Debate Friday, Patriots.com.
Right.
I urge fans of the podcast to go over to Patriots.com, vote, would you want Michael Vick as a Patriot? So, Paul, I will let you weigh in on Michael Vick.
I want no part of Michael Vick as a Patriot.
Mm-hmm. Smart man, Paul.
Well, close-minded people are what we're all about here in the Patriots land.
I think he has every right.
I am a man of opportunity and second chances.
I think he has every right to come back and get employment in the NFL, but I just don't have any use for him for the Patriots. They don't need him.
I say they do.
I concur, Paul.
He's a rich man's Pat White. I bring him in to run my Wildcat, run some plays out of the slot. Sorry, Julian Edelman, you're no longer needed. Run some plays out of the backfield, tosses, a couple handoffs.
Given his troubles, I think he's a poor man's Pat White.
Well, he's a poor man. But skill-wise, he's a rich man's. He's got a strong arm. He'll run that Wildcat. He'll throw some bombs to Randy Moss. I like
the
idea.
He's got a strong arm.
As long as he's willing to kind of subjugate the ego, as we say in New England. We bring him in. We run the Wildcat. We give him an opportunity to revive his life.
Overpaid backup.
His career. He won't be overpaid. He'll be on the veteran minimum.
He'll be overpaid.
That veteran minimum is what he's going to make.
That's
so
more than he's worth.
If I'm signing him, it's a veteran minimum.
I'm somewhere in between cutting ties with Eric right now, just so you know.
I give him the opportunity. Where better to rehab your image and become a good citizen than New England, battling for a championship alongside Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft, the head of this organization? Give Vic a chance in 09. That's what I say when he's reinstated by Roger Goodell.
Which could
be
next year.
If he's not, then who cares?
Right.
And one final note. Eric, I know you will join me in this. Memorial Day weekend. I'm sure we have many podcast listeners and listeners around the world, some on military bases, some who are not veterans, mm-hmm. some who are active in the military. And we salute them. We thank them.
Thank them for their service.
Yes, you are very, very much on board with that. You do it every time one of them calls PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch kind of mocks you. I kind of mock you. But for this weekend, at least, I will refrain from mocking and will say thank you very much. Memorial Day weekend. We are actively at war right now, so it's not just veterans. It is active
That's right.
military members that we salute. And we all owe them a little bit of a thank you for what they do to allow us to
Darn
have
right.
stupid jobs and stupid arguments about Michael Vick and should he come to New England and play football.
Right.
There's a lot of real-world issues going on at hand, and they allow us to kind of deal with the crap that we deal with on a weekly basis.
Amen.
That's going to do it for this week's podcast as we review no roster moves, but lots of rumor, innuendo, and argument. Names like Derek Burgess and Michael Vick, Fred Taylor. We covered it all.
And even though there weren't any roster moves, this podcast wasn't lax.
Speaking of lax, they're going to battle for the Division 1, 2, and 3 lacrosse championships here at Gillette Stadium this Memorial Day weekend. Tickets still available. If you're in driving distance, come on down and enjoy a great take, as our boss Fred Kirsch says. Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.